Chapter 149. Yes, sir, apostrophe replied Job. Very much so. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe said the little man, laughing, I hope you are going to disgrace it. Deliver this letter to the agent when you reach Liverpool, and let me advise you, gentlemen, not to be too knowing in the West Indies. If you throw away this chance, you will both richly deserve to be hanged, as I sincerely trust you will be. And now you had better leave Mr. Pickwick and me alone, for we have other matters to talk over, and time is precious. Apostrophe as Perker said this, he looked towards the door, with an evident desire, to render the leave-taking as brief as possible. It was brief enough on Mr. Jingle's part. He thanked the little attorney in a few hurried words for the kindness and promptitude with which he had rendered his assistance, and, turning to his benefactor, stood for a few seconds, as if irresolute what to say, or how to act. Job Trotter relieved his perplexity, for, with a humble and grateful bow to Mr. Pickwick, he took his friend gently by the arm, and led him away. A worthy couple. Apostrophe said Perker, as the door closed behind them. I hope they may become so, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick. What do you think? Is there any chance of their permanent reformation? Apostrophe, Perker shrugged his shoulders doubtfully, but observing Mr. Pickwick's anxious and disappointed look, rejoined, of course there is a chance. I hope it may prove a good one. They are unquestionably penitent now, but then, you know, they have the recollection of very recent suffering fresh upon them. What they may become, when that fades away, is a problem that neither you nor I can solve. However, my dear sir, apostrophe added Perker, laying his hand on Mr. Pickwick's shoulder, your object is equally honorable, whatever the result is. Whether that species of benevolence which is so very cautious and long-sighted, that it is seldom exercised at all, lest its owner should be imposed upon, and so wounded in his self-love, be real charity or a worldly counterfeit, I leave to wiser heads than mine to determine. But if those two fellows were to commit a burglary tomorrow, my opinion of this action would be equally high. Apostrophe, with these remarks, which were delivered in a much more animated and earnest manner than is usual in legal gentlemen, Perker drew his chair to his desk, and listened to Mr. Pickwick's recital of old Mr. Winkle's obstinacy. Give him a week, apostrophe said Perker, nodding his head prophetically. Do you think he will come round? Apostrophe inquired Mr. Pickwick. I think he will, apostrophe rejoined Perker. If not, we must try the young lady's persuasion. And that is what anybody but you would have done at first. Apostrophe, Mr. Perker was taking a pinch of snuff with various grotesque contractions of countenance, eulogistic of the persuasive powers appertaining unto young ladies, when the murmur of inquiry and answer was heard in the outer office, and Lowten tapped at the door. Come in. Apostrophe cried the little man. The clerk came in, and shut the door after him, with great mystery. What's the matter? Apostrophe inquired Perker. You're wanted, sir. Apostrophe, who wants me? Apostrophe, Lowten looked at Mr. Pickwick, and coughed. Who wants me? Can't you speak, Mr. Lowten? Apostrophe, why, sir, apostrophe replied Lowten, it's Dodson, and Fogg is with him. Apostrophe, bless my life. Apostrophe said the little man, looking at his watch, I appointed them to be here at 11:30, to settle that matter of yours, Pickwick. I gave them an undertaking on which they sent down your discharge. It's very awkward, my dear sir, what will you do? Would you like to step into the next room? Apostrophe, the next room being the identical room in which Messrs. Dodson and Fogg were, Mr. Pickwick replied, that he would remain where he was. The more especially as Messrs. Dodson and Fogg ought to be ashamed to look him in the face, instead of his being ashamed to see them. Which latter circumstance he begged Mr. Perker to note, with a glowing countenance and many marks of indignation. Very well, my dear sir, very well, apostrophe replied Perker. I can only say that, if you expect either Dodson or Fogg to exhibit any symptom of shame or confusion at having to look you, or anybody else, in the face, you are the most sanguine man in your expectations that I ever met with. Show them in, Mr. Lowten. Apostrophe, Mr. Lowten disappeared with a grin, and immediately returned ushering in the firm, in due form of precedence Dodson first, and Fogg afterwards. You have seen Mr. Pickwick, I believe? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Perker to Dodson, inclining his pen in the direction where that gentleman was seated. How do you do, Mr. Pickwick? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dodson, in a loud voice. Dear me, cried Fogg, how do you do, Mr. Pickwick? I hope you are well, sir. I thought I knew the face, apostrophe, said Fogg, drawing up a chair and looking round him with a smile. Mr. Pickwick bent his head very slightly in answer to these salutations, and, seeing Fogg pull a bundle of papers from his coat pocket, rose and walked to the window. There's no occasion for Mr. Pickwick to move, Mr. Perker, apostrophe said Fogg, untying the red tape which encircled the little bundle, and smiling again more sweetly than before. Apostrophe Mr. Pickwick is pretty well acquainted with these proceedings. There are no secrets between us, I think. He. Apostrophe, not many, I think, apostrophe said Dodson. Ha. Apostrophe then both the partners laughed together pleasantly and cheerfully, as men who are going to receive money often do. We shall make Mr. Pickwick pay for peeping, apostrophe said Fogg, with considerable native humor, as he unfolded his papers. The amount of the tax costs is 133.64, Mr. Perker. Apostrophe, there was a great comparing of papers, and turning over of leaves, by Fogg and Perker, after this statement of profit and loss. Meanwhile, Dodson said, in an affable manner, to Mr. Pickwick, I don't think you are looking quite so stout as when I had the pleasure of seeing you last, Mr. Pickwick. Apostrophe, possibly not, sir, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick, who had been flashing forth looks of fierce indignation, without producing the smallest effect on either of the sharp practitioners. I believe I am not, sir. I have been persecuted and annoyed by scoundrels of late, sir. Apostrophe Perker coughed violently, and asked Mr. Pickwick whether he wouldn't like to look at the morning paper. To which inquiry Mr. Pickwick returned a most decided negative. True, apostrophe said Dodson, I dare say you have been annoyed in the Fleet, there are some odd gentry there. Whereabouts were your apartments, Mr. Pickwick? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my one room, apostrophe replied that much injured gentleman, was on the coffee room flight. Apostrophe, oh, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dodson. I believe that is a very pleasant part of the establishment. Apostrophe, very, apostrophe replied Mr. Pickwick dryly. There was a coolness about all this, which, to a gentleman of an excitable temperament, had, under the circumstances, rather an exasperating tendency. Mr. Pickwick restrained his wrath by gigantic efforts. But when Perker wrote a check for the whole amount, and Fogg deposited it in a small pocketbook, with a triumphant smile playing over his pimply features, which communicated itself likewise to the stern countenance of Dodson, he felt the blood in his cheeks tingling with indignation. Now, Mr. Dodson, apostrophe said Fogg, putting up the pocketbook and drawing on his gloves, I am at your service. Apostrophe, very good, apostrophe said Dodson, rising, I am quite ready. Apostrophe, I am very happy, apostrophe said Fogg, softened by the check, to have had the pleasure of making Mr. Pickwick's acquaintance. I hope you don't think quite so ill of us, Mr. Pickwick, as when we first had the pleasure of seeing you. Apostrophe, I hope not, apostrophe said Dodson, with the high tone of calumniated virtue. Apostrophe Mr. Pickwick now knows us better, I trust, Whatever your opinion of gentlemen of our profession may be, I beg to assure you, sir, that I bear no ill will or vindictive feeling towards you for the sentiments you thought proper to express in our office in Freeman's Court, Cornhill, on the occasion to which my partner has referred. Apostrophe, oh, no, no, nor I, apostrophe, said Fogg, in a most forgiving manner. Our conduct, sir, apostrophe, said Dodson, will speak for itself, and justify itself, I hope, upon every occasion. We have been in the profession some years, Mr. Pickwick, and have been honored with the confidence of many excellent clients. I wish you good morning, sir. Apostrophe, good morning, Mr. Pickwick, apostrophe, said Fogg. So saying, he put his umbrella under his arm, drew off his right glove, and extended the hand of reconciliation to that most indignant gentleman, who, thereupon, thrust his hands beneath his coattails, and eyed the attorney with looks of scornful amazement. Lowten, apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Perker, at this moment. Open the door. Apostrophe, wait one instant, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick. Perker, I will speak. Apostrophe, my dear sir, pray let the matter rest where it is, apostrophe, said the little attorney, who had been in a state of nervous apprehension during the whole interview. Apostrophe, Mr. Pickwick, I beg apostrophe, I will not be put down, sir, apostrophe, replied Mr. Pickwick hastily. Apostrophe, Mr. Dodson, you have addressed some remarks to me. Apostrophe, Dodson turned round, bent his head meekly, and smiled. Some remarks to me, apostrophe, repeated Mr. Pickwick, almost breathless, and your partner has tendered me his hand, and you have both assumed a tone of forgiveness and high-mindedness, which is an extent of impudence that I was not prepared for, even in you. Apostrophe, what, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Dodson. What, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, reiterated Fogg. Do you know that I have been the victim of your plots and conspiracies? Apostrophe, apostrophe, continued Mr. Pickwick. Do you know that I am the man whom you have been imprisoning and robbing? Do you know that you were the attorneys for the plaintiff, in Bartle and Pickwick? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, sir, we do know it, apostrophe, replied Dodson. Of course we know it, sir, apostrophe, rejoined Fogg, slapping his pocket perhaps by accident. I see that you recollect it with satisfaction, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, attempting to call up a sneer for the first time in his life, and failing most signally in so doing. Although I have long been anxious to tell you, in plain terms, what my opinion of you is, I should have let even this opportunity pass, in deference to my friend Perker's wishes, but for the unwarrantable tone you have assumed, and your insolent familiarity. I say insolent familiarity, sir, apostrophe, said Mr. Pickwick, turning upon Fogg with a fierceness of gesture which caused that person to retreat towards the door with great expedition. Take care, sir, apostrophe, said Dodson, who, though he was the biggest man of the party, had prudently entrenched himself behind Fogg, and was speaking over his head with a very pale face. Let him assault you, Mr. Fogg. Don't return it on any account. Apostrophe, no, no, I won't return it, apostrophe, said Fogg, falling back a little more as he spoke, to the evident relief of his partner, who by these means, was gradually getting into the outer office. You are, apostrophe, continued Mr. Pickwick, resuming the thread of his discourse, you are a well-matched pair of mean, rascally, pettifogging robbers. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe, interposed Perker, is that all? Apostrophe, it is all summed up in that, apostrophe, rejoined Mr. Pickwick. They are mean, rascally, pettifogging robbers. Apostrophe, there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Perker, in a most conciliatory tone. My dear sirs, he has said all he has to say. Now pray go. Lowten, is that door open? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Lowten, with a distant giggle, replied in the affirmative. There, there, good morning, now pray, my dear sirs, Mr. Lowten, the door. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the little man, pushing Dodson and Fogg, nothing loath, out of the office. This way, my dear sirs, now pray, don't prolong this, dear me, Mr. Lotan, the door, sir, why don't you attend? Apostrophe, apostrophe, if there's law in England, sir, apostrophe, said Dodson, looking towards Mr. Pickwick, as he put on his hat, you shall smart for this. Apostrophe, you are a couple of mean apostrophe, remember, sir, you pay dearly for this, apostrophe, said Fogg. Apostrophe, rascally, pettifogging robbers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, continued Mr. Pickwick, taking not the least notice of the threats that were addressed to him. Robbers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Pickwick, running to the stairhead, as the two attorneys descended. Robbers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, shouted Mr. Pickwick, breaking from Lotan and Perker, and thrusting his head out of the staircase window. When Mr. Pickwick drew in his head again, his countenance was smiling and placid, and, walking quietly back into the office, he declared that he had now removed a great weight from his mind, and that he felt perfectly comfortable and happy. Perker said nothing at all until he had emptied his snuff box, and sent Lotan out to fill it, when he was seized with a fit of laughing, which lasted 5 minutes, at the expiration of which time he said that he supposed he ought to be very angry, but he couldn't think of the business seriously yet when he could. He. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.